Our core text this morning is actually just one verse, which is verse 18, which we're going to look at in detail presently. I'm sure you'll all know, or most of you will know, that at the end of August this year, the Queen Elizabeth approved a request by the government to suspend or prorogue Parliament. It was an act that proved highly controversial and eventually made it to several courts, eventually to the UK Supreme Court. But the controversy aside, this suspending of Parliament raised a very interesting question. Who exactly has the highest authority? Now, the British monarchy is a constitutional monarchy. The Queen is known as the head of state. But the ability to make and pass legislation actually sits with our elected parliament. And so it is Parliament, actually not the royal family, that is the UK's highest governing body. And therefore, many of Queen Elizabeth's political powers are largely ceremonial. They are, if you like, matters of tradition. So the official act of suspending Parliament came under the Queen's authority. The Prime Minister had to go to the Queen and request permission. But she did so under the advice of the Prime Minister. And so it was at the time considered highly unlikely that the Queen would refuse his request by virtue of the fact that the Queen simply operates on the advice of the Prime Minister and has done for as long as we can remember. So the Queen typically does not involve herself in political matters. And when the Supreme Court eventually ruled that the decision to suspend Parliament was unlawful, it did not rule against the Queen herself. And the Supreme Court's President, Lady Hale, said the decision to advise Her Majesty to prorogue Parliament was unlawful. The decision to advise the Queen was unlawful, not the Queen's, if you like, permission or authorization itself. So therefore, you see, the Queen is the head, but her authority is limited in practice. The Queen is the head, but her authority is limited in practice. That is not the case with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true head of the church, and he is the highest authority. By word of explanation, we are beginning a series on leadership, and specifically to help us, hopefully, as we come to the end of November, and we'll be thinking about the elections of elders and deacons, if you like, leaders in the church. And so it's important for us to start by understanding the true head of the church. And for absolute clarity, that is not me. I am not the head of the church. I am now have the privilege of being the pastor of Wantage Baptist Church, but I am not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. He is the highest authority. He is not limited in any way. It is not as if I approach Christ and advise him on what I want to do, and he ceremonially says, yes, that's fine, go ahead. He is the highest and supreme authority. He is the head of the body. And let me say to this point that the body is not the same as the church congregation. We're going to look at this a bit later on. The body is those who have yielded their lives to him as Lord and Saviour. Jesus has established himself as the supreme Lord and the supreme ruler of his church. And subsequently, he appoints leaders to oversee the spiritual development of the church. I thought of an illustration just this morning, actually. Maybe it's not a perfect illustration, but I think it works quite well. And to embarrass Hanley is our treasurer. And Hannah Lee oversees the finances of the church, and she does an excellent job. Hannah Lee doesn't own the church finances. They're not her finances. What she does is she manages, she oversees, and she makes recommendations that we discuss in our elders and deacons meetings, and we make decisions. And some of those decisions will, the bigger decisions, might come to the church body. So Hannah Lee, if you like, is an overseer of the finances, but she doesn't own the finances. And in the same way, leaders in the church are overseers. They are caretakers. They have a great responsibility. They don't own the church, because the church is owned in the strongest and truest of senses by Jesus, because he purchased it with his blood. We were not redeemed by perishable things such as silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. So let us look at Colossians 1. There is so much we could say about these verses, but I want to draw out really the big idea in here, which is that Jesus is the supreme Lord over all creation. And Paul first speaks of Christ's supremacy over all things, not just the created world, but to new creations in Christ. He speaks of things in heaven and things on earth. You don't get much more universal than that. Things in heaven and things on earth. He speaks about things that are visible and invisible. He speaks of thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities. And look at these references. Paul is overemphasizing almost the totality of Christ's rule. All, everything. All things are under his sovereign rule. And then we come to verse 18, when Paul explains, having laid out this totality of Christ's rule, that the church comes under Christ's sovereign rule too. And this is when we come to verse 18. Paul says, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Now, some of these words may sound familiar. I hope they sound familiar, because they are echoed very much in the letter to the Ephesians, and we did a extensive study in Ephesians this time last year, beginning in the autumn. So I want to bring to you a few verses from Ephesians that, if you like, add greater weight to Colossians 1:18. Ephesians 1:22, God placed all things under Christ's feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And then Ephesians 5:23, speaking of the relationships within marriage, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is Savior. So I want us to zero in on verse 18 this morning. And I want to show this through a series of emphases. We're going to look at individual words, and you'll see how the emphasis helps us to understand some of what is being explained here. So firstly, he is the head of the body. So once again, I will highlight that the pastor is not the head of the church, neither are the elders or the deacons. The head of the church is Christ, and that is the single most important facet of church leadership. I often point to the words up here above the arch, Jesus Christ is Lord. I know it's a bit familiar, isn't it, when we see something that's there all the time. But I would encourage you, as you come into the building every week, to cast your eyes up and understand that Jesus Christ is over all. I love the fact that it's over the archway. It actually almost visually shows us that Christ is the cornerstone. So he, that is Christ, is the head. Secondly, he is the head. Notice the present tense, that Christ rules supremely in the here and the now. Now, it's true that the church will one day be presented to him as a bride without blemish, but he still rules as Lord today. So we don't give headship of the church to Christ. He already possesses headship of the Christ, of the church, rather, which then takes us to he is the head, the highest place, the highest authority. Unlike the queen, his authority is not merely ceremonial, but it is real, and it must be fully grasped, both on an individual and a corporate level. So as a church, we must always remember that he is the head, and our first thought must always be him. But on an individual level, we must also remember that he is the head of our own lives. He is the head of our marriages. He is the head of our workplaces. He is the head of our parenting. He's the head of all things that we do. Every single thing that we do comes under the headship of Christ. And it's worth noting that when the Bible talks about the head and the body, it is not so much the understanding that we have today with our understanding of neurology and all that goes with that, but really just an understanding that the head comes first. The head is at the top. The head is the piece of the body that has the eyes that see, that has the ears that hear, that has the mouth that speaks. And so there is so much contained within the head. And so the head is the top, the head is first, and the body comes after. And that takes us then to the body. Christ is specifically the head of the body. Now, Paul has spoken extensively about the body in several of his letters, and they should come up for us here. The first one in Romans chapter 12, he says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, and so on he goes. So he is writing to a church in Corinth and says, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And then finally, Ephesians 4. We talked about growing to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So the body is expressed in many, many places in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. And so as Christians, we must understand what the body means. And I will say again that the body is not the congregation. The congregation is made up of all sorts of people, and you are all very, very welcome here this morning. And we welcome non-Christians, those who have not yet come to faith, those who are still finding their way on the journey. We welcome people into what I call the church community, which is that place in which people can find fellowship. And the church community expands beyond these four or so walls and expands out into the back. I was here on Thursday morning for the toddler group, and a whole load of people who don't come to church, they may go to other churches, they don't come to this church, they've been brought into this church community. The King Centre is part of the church community. And Dickensian evening, when we open up, we see people coming into the church community. So we have this kind of wide, if you like, circle. But the inner circle, if you like, which is not an exclusive club, I don't want to express it in that way, but there is a core, which is the true body of Christ, which is those that have given their lives to him as Lord and Saviour. And it is that that is referred to as the body. Now, leadership is an important, in fact, vital facet of any organisation. And the church is no different. And God clearly has appointed leaders to, as I said, oversee the church. But it's important to understand that church leaders are not the head. And forgive me for the repetition, but it needs repeating that Christ is the head of the church. It is natural for us to align ourselves to human leaders, whoever they may be, because after all, human leaders are visible. They're present. You can have a, you know, a face-to-face conversation with them. You have a dialogue with them. But leaders are shepherds and overseers. They are shepherds and overseers of the flock. And they are primarily tasked with caring for God's people and bringing them to pasture in the Lord. Some time ago, we did a series on Psalm 23, and we talked about how the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. I want to turn your attention to Psalm 100. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So friends, as believers in Christ, we find pasture in Christ. And my job and the job of the leaders in the church is to lovingly and graciously shepherd you into the pasture of the Lord. And that means caring for physical needs and being available to listen and to help. But ultimately, what we want to do is bring you to pasture in the Lord. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, the end of November is a little way away, but hopefully over the next few weeks, these things will kind of settle in and you'll begin to explore them more. When you come to consider leaders in the church here at Wantage, you must first consider, do potential leaders recognize the headship of Christ over his church? And I shared with you, I think last week, that my vision of the church is first and foremost that we are Christ glorifying. And that means that we recognize the headship of Christ over his church. And secondly, do potential leaders recognize the nature of the church as a body? Christ is the head and the whole church is the body. Remember in those writings that Paul brought, he talked, didn't he, repeatedly about each one doing its part. You are the body of Christ. You have a part to play. It is not a part that I have given you. It is a part that Christ has given you. And I understand that some of you maybe don't even know what that part is. Maybe you're struggling to know what that part is. And that's okay. We can work through that together. And actually, and I've said this before, encourage one another. When you see people doing things that really impress you, tell them, because sometimes people need to hear that to know what their part is in the body of Christ. I won't embarrass anybody else anymore, but I know a few people who I just see the things they do. Sometimes very visible, sometimes it's not so visible, and it's a real blessing to me, and I try and tell those people, not just to encourage them, but actually to spur them on. We're told to spur each other on to love and good works. So when you see people doing things, or when you see even a potential gifting, just tell that person, and don't say, God's told me that you need to do this. Just speak a word to them, because it might encourage them to say, actually, Lord, maybe you are speaking to me. Maybe I do need to do this. Christ is the head, and we are a body, and each one has a part to play. Leaders in the church, therefore, should seek humbly to discern the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, we need to pray. We need to pray, first and foremost, that Christ will rule. Now, I said earlier that we don't need to give him headship, and that's true. But sometimes we can act and behave in ways that do not give him the honor that is due to his name. And so related to that is the need for us to submit. And sometimes that's easier than others. And sometimes it's difficult when we feel, when we sense that God is calling us to something that, if we're honest, we don't really want to do. But there is no greater joy, despite the hardships, from doing the thing that God has called you to do. And we need to pray that God will continue to gift godly leaders to take us forward in his way and in his time. So friends, I want you to pray faithfully for God to raise up leaders in this church. And I'm not just talking about elders and deacons. I'm talking about all the other people that lead things. There are leaders of parent and toddlers, leaders women's fellowship, leaders of the youth group, leaders of the Sunday school, people who do all sorts of things in the church. And we need to ask that God will give us godly leaders. There are lots of people who are very good at leading, who are very good at managing tasks and all those kind of things. And those are great skills to have. But the emphasis is on godliness, people who seek first and foremost Christ. I want us to remember in closing that he is the head. He is the chief cornerstone, and our hope is and should be built on nothing less. We're going to close in worship. My hope is built on nothing less.